There was a late addition to the race for Michigan Attorney General. A former assistant U.S. attorney is running as an independent. His name is Chris Gravelin, and he joins us now. Welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me, Lester.
I want to start with how you got on the ballot, okay? You did not have enough signatures to make the ballot. You didn't even have half the required number of signatures. You filed a lawsuit, and a federal judge put you on the ballot. I'm wondering, what's that say about how you view the law?
I have a lot of respect for the law. However, if a law is unconstitutional, the people of the state of Michigan can rely on me to challenge it. And I viewed this particular law as being unconstitutional. No independent has ever successfully met the bar that the Democrats and the Republicans set. So that's why I challenged the law.
In Bridge Magazine, you were interviewed and you indicated the attorneys general have become partisan lawyers working for political aims. What did you mean by that?
The Republican and Democratic parties have taken a model that was first used back in the 1990s in a bipartisan way, where the attorney general sued the tobacco industry to get settlement to help defray medical costs, and have now broken that down into essentially Republican and Democratic attorney general associations that only sue on behalf of their own political disputes. You see that with Attorney General Schuette over the last several years, where he and several other Republican attorney generals have sued the Obama administration over the Affordable Care Act and EPA regulations. The Democrat Attorney General Association has sued the Trump administration 134 times. My question is, who's doing the work of the people? Consumer protection, actually getting resources to fight violent crime, opioid addiction, identity theft. That's what I want to do.
Governor Snyder negotiated with a Canadian pipeline company to build a tunnel 100 feet underground for twin gas and oil pipelines. That will take years to construct. In the meantime, the 65-year-old Enbridge Line 5 pipeline that lies on the bottom of the Straits of Mackinac is still there. What, if anything, would you do about Line 5?
I think what the next attorney general needs to do with Line 5 is to work with the governor, whichever candidate wins the governorship. There's been a lot of talk about the attorney general can unilaterally revoke the easement. I think that's basically a headline slogan. As soon as the attorney general would try to do that, there is federal legislation that also governs that pipeline. Immediately, Enbridge would bring you into federal court, seek injunctive relief, and it would drag on for a number of years. It's not as if the attorney general can shut it down tomorrow. So to say that you can, I think, is quite frankly misleading. And so what I would be doing is working with the attorney, with the governor, to make sure that the line is safe and to advance all of our legal options to make sure that that pipeline is either rendered safe or shut down while they're building the tunnel.
PFAS chemicals are being found in drinking water and rivers and fish. Governor Snyder asked Attorney General Bill Schuette to file a lawsuit against 3M, one of the manufacturers of a product containing a PFAS chemical. So far, Schuette has not filed suit. What would you do if you were in that place?
I would file the suit. I would enforce all the environmental regulations that are on the books, and if 3M is violating those, we'd be filing a lawsuit.
3M will tell you, we didn't dump this stuff in your environment. We gave it to manufacturers who mishandled it. Do you still have a case?
I mean, that's for my staff attorneys to come and advise me of, my investigators. At the same time, if the governor is heavily suggesting that you have a case, I think you minimally have to open up the investigation and move with speed. I think one of the biggest things is I think lawyers can drag their feet a lot. I'm not a big foot dragger, and I haven't been during my time as a federal prosecutor. If things need to be resolved, let's go get them resolved.
In this state, you can be fired for being LGBTQ. In some cases, you can be denied housing for being gay. You can be denied service for being gay. The Elliot Larson Act, the Civil Rights Act of Michigan, prohibits discrimination against a person based on religion, race, color, national origin, age, sex, height, weight, familial status, marital status. What do you think about expanding civil rights protections to LGBTQ folks?
Well, I think, first of all, I think in terms of how LGBTQ would be treated by my office, they would be treated with dignity and respect. We would treat all citizens exactly the same with respect under the law. In terms of the Elliot Larson bill, I think that's going to be an issue that the legislature needs to take up and needs to take a look at.
But the attorney general has great sway in that he can advise on how things should be interpreted. And we've seen things from the Michigan Civil Rights Commission be interpreted by the Attorney General office as not being able to reach out and protect certain classes of LGBTQ folks.
I completely understand. I believe Attorney General Schuette just put out an opinion talking about that. At the same time, I think this is one that can best be taken up with the legislature as well. So in terms of, I want to be very careful because I think what happens a lots of times, and we see this both nationally and here in the state, is the legislature and Congress, when they come to difficult decisions, like to punt it to someone else. So on the national level, it's the Supreme Court. That's why you see the death match over Supreme Court justices. On the state level, they like to punt it to the Attorney General. I'm not going to be the rule of one here. I'm going to push back and say, listen, legislature, you need to take a hard look at, you know, and make those types of difficult decisions on, for example, on Elliot Larson.
One of the proposals on the ballot asks voters to make the recreational use of marijuana legal in Michigan. What are your thoughts about that?
While marijuana remains illegal under federal law, I think it's a bad idea to legalize it under state law. And I think it has a lot of second and third order effects that people don't think about. For example, most of the businesses are suddenly all cash businesses. And then when they go to try to put the money into banks, banks which are federally insured don't take them because it violates federal money laundering laws as well. So you create a whole bunch of second and third order effects about how do you handle this? So I'll be voting no on Proposal 1. With that being said, the way I view the Attorney General's position, any duly enacted law, it is my job to implement in the most intelligent and smart way possible. I will not be trying to thwart the will of the people. It's my job to enforce that law as well as I possibly can.
I like to ask this question of every Attorney General candidate I've talked to. Civil asset forfeiture is the practice of law enforcement seizing property suspected of being gotten through illegal gains, such as selling drugs. There might never be a conviction or even charges filed, but that property is still seized, and it's very difficult to get back. What do you think of that as a law enforcement tool?
Well, I'm very familiar with civil asset forfeiture. I used to work in the drug unit in the U.S. Attorney's Office. There is mechanisms to challenge when we seize money. We have to be very careful that it's not just a money grab from law enforcement. At the same time, what the practice is lots of times we catch the couriers with the large amounts of money, $600,000, $700,000. And the question is, do you prosecute the courier or do you seize the money and have them come and try to justify why they had the money?
What happens to due process in this?
They have due process. They can challenge it in civil law court as opposed to going to get the conviction.
If they're not convicted or even charged, though, why should they have to go through that process?
Well, here's the other option, that we just charge them. And then we talk about the rates of incarceration on people and only going after low-level couriers and putting people in prison. There is a process in which they can go through. It's civil. There's no conviction. If they want to challenge it, they can. The other route is, and we take away civil asset forfeiture, we're going to have to charge them, and then we will seize it under the criminal forfeiture provisions. And then that person will also be going to prison. And so I know there's been a lot of discussion about civil asset forfeiture, but there is a mechanism in which you can challenge it. Many people don't because there's not a very good reason why they have $500,000 in their trunk. And so I think it's a useful tool for law enforcement that also avoids criminal culpability for the people who might be caught.
Chris Gravelin is running for Attorney General as an independent. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Lester.
Tomorrow on Stateside, we talk with Lisa Lane Gioia, the Libertarian candidate running for Attorney General. And tomorrow on Morning Edition with Doug Tribou, you can hear the Republican candidate, Tom Leonard.